Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Friday, the 4th of July. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom on the way tonight. Tributes are being paid to former MHK Tim Baker, who's died at the age of 59. The Infrastructure Minister has dismissed claims 20 mile per hour zones could delay bus routes, and the Isle of Man's national football team face off against FC Isle of Man at the Bowl this evening. All those stories and more coming up. If you want to comment on anything you hear, drop me a text 166 177 or you can email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Siobhan Fletcher. Fast am I.
Tributes have continued to pour in for former Aaron Michael MHK and Minister Tim Baker, who's died aged 59. Andreas Meets, who Tim joined in 2022 as head of finance, says he was a formidable presence from day one, not only in the workplace but also in their hearts. Mr. Baker is survived by his wife Vivian and two children. An Ulcombe MHK is calling for more clarity on proposed 20-mile-per-hour zones as the consultation for Douglas and Ulcombe closes today. Rob Callister says slower speeds could delay bus routes by up to 15 minutes and wants a feasibility study, but Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood says he's talking nonsense.
I'm not expecting there to be bus timetable changes for 10 to 15 minutes. There may be a minute or two, but there is already some flex allowed in bus timetables because, as we all know, you get on a bus and you start following the bin wagon or something doing stops or cyclists. So there is already some flex built into the bus timetables. There may be small tweaks, but there will be nothing like a 10 or 15 minute delay going through Ulcombe.
Migrations, government savings and attracting more young people to the island were amongst the topics to feature in the final government roadshow this week. 66 people attended the last Listening to You session at QE2 last night. And the Isle of Man's men's national side and FC Isle of Man will face off in a pre-season contest this evening. Both are set to meet at the Bowl in Douglas, kicking off at 7 o'clock. Further afield, a man who repeatedly urged a vulnerable woman to kill herself and self-harm for his own gratification has been jailed for 9 years. 23-year-old Tyler Webb from Loughborough is the first person in the UK to be charged with the new offence of encouraging serious self-harm under the Online Safety Act. Former Arsenal footballer Thomas Partey's been charged with raping two women and sexually assaulting a third. And former Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has confirmed he's in talks with Zara Sultana about setting up a breakaway political party. They're your headlines, news at 6.
Good, Maya. Thank you very much for that, Siobhan. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Occasional outbreaks of rain or drizzle becoming isolated overnight. Fresh to strong southwest wind and minimum temperatures of 13 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock. Often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Ulcombe have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Karcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Karcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The former MHK for Air and Michael, Tim Baker, has died at the age of 59. John Moss has been looking back over his political career.
Tim Baker entered politics in 2016 when he decided his background in economics in particular would be of benefit to this island. He stood for Air and Michael.
Got a degree in economics from Cambridge University, 25 years business experience and a chartered accountancy qualification, and having a heart for the Isle of Man, I believe that I'm the right person step up right now.
Does that provide, though, the political nous to prosper in day-to-day politics?
Well, I think it depends what you mean by politics.
Well, economics. Economic people are renowned for having theories, but on the practical side, falling a little short.
No, absolutely. You've got to take that as a rigorous background and actually apply it and get things done, and that's what we need to be doing in the Alaman now. It's about doing, not talking.
Among the posts entrusted to him were children's champion and chairman of planning over the next 5 years, but the biggest challenge was as Minister for Infrastructure, a job he was given in 2020. Included in infrastructure was a task that was proving a tough one, completion of the Liverpool landing stage.
The COVID situation clearly has disrupted construction in the UK. And the productivity on site is reduced by some of the practical measures that have been brought in around social distancing, etc. In addition, there's some disruption to supply chains, which we're all seeing. Things just take longer to be obtained, whether it's building materials or medical equipment or whatever.
He lost his seat in 2021 in the general election, with controversy over the Douglas Promenade scheme seen as one reason. Tim Baker, who had two children, was a table tennis player. He founded the Ramsey Table Tennis Club and could often be seen out cycling.
John Morse with that report there. Well, as you can imagine, tributes continue to pour in for Mr. Baker by his various political colleagues. Siobhan Fletcher is back with us now, who's been reading through some of them.
Chief Minister Alfred Cannon says he's very sorry to hear of Mr. Baker's passing and says that he was passionate about his community. He continued, Tim served as Infrastructure Minister and as Children's Champion, where he was unwavering in his support for disadvantaged children. My thoughts are with Tim's family. President of Tynwald during Mr. Baker's tenure, Steve Roden, issued this statement. He said, I'm shocked and saddened to hear of Mr. Baker's passing. As a member of Tynwald, Tim made a huge contribution to Manx public life. I liked him immensely. Always well informed, constructive and courteous in debate, and with a professional attention to detail, he was a popular and respected parliamentarian. He will be remembered as being a real asset to Tynwald. My deepest condolences to Tim's family and friends. Paying tribute on his own social media page, Onken MHK Rob Callister said, I am profoundly saddened to learn of the passing of my dear friend and colleague Tim Baker yesterday. He says, in recent weeks, I've had the privilege of staying in touch with Tim's wife Vivian, and I'm truly grateful for the moments I spent with Tim during his time in the hospital recently. Tim was not only a cherished member of the Tynwald family from 2016 to 2021, he embodied warmth, generosity and good humour, leaving an indelible mark on all of us. His tireless dedication, thoughtful encouragement and shared laughter during our busiest days showcased his remarkable ability to connect with those around him. Mr. Callister added, on a personal note, I will always treasure the collaboration between Tim, Kerry and myself on the Select Committee on Accommodation for Vulnerable Young People on the island. His dedication and insights were invaluable and he'll be deeply missed. Douglas councillor and former MHK David Cretney said, I am so sorry to hear the news about Tim Baker. The thing I will most remember was his humanity and courage raising the Notfield scandal in Tynwald, despite opposition from some in government, which eventually led to some long overdue justice for the victims, sadly a number of whom are no longer with us. And political party Liberal Vannin has also issued a statement saying, we are so sorry to hear of the death of Tim Baker, former MHK for Aaron Michael. Sincere condolences to Tim's family, friends and former colleagues. May he rest in peace.
Some sad news indeed. And you can find a full list of all the tributes that have been paid so far over at manxradio.com. A consultation on proposed 20-mile-per-hour speed limits for residential roads in Douglas and Onken closes today. From Monday, residents in the north of the island will be invited to give their views, with the consultation open until the 1st of September. In the meantime, though, concerns are being raised about the potential impact on journey times and whether the lower limits could lead to frustration and dangerous driving. Mike Birchall, the secretary of Unite's Isle of Man taxi branch, says there are a number of concerns surrounding the proposals.
We've not been consulted. The DOI hasn't consulted us directly as a trade on this matter. I haven't worked out what travel delays there would be time-wise, say on a run from Douglas to the airport or whatever. We would have to play that out when the limits come in. But I mean, that is going to be one factor of it. And the way the consultation has been done, it seems to have been a done deal already. there's posts going up all over the island for these 20 mile an hour speed limit signs to go on, and yet the DOI is saying the consultation, it doesn't exactly encourage trust in the government at the moment, does it, the way things are being done here and dealt with.
Mike Birchall there, the secretary of Unite's Isle of Man taxi branch, while Onchan MHK Rob Callister, who had already submitted a response to the consultation, says he's written again this week seeking clarity over how the changes might affect bus services. He believes reduced speeds could add as much as 15 minutes to journeys, which may require adjustments to the timetable.
At the time in 2017, I was informed by the Department of Infrastructure officers within bus vanning that any sort of reduction in speed from 30 mile an hour to 20 mile an hour could actually increase bus route. In recent weeks, the current DOI minister has actually said there will be minimal a time added on to a bus route.
And has any of your constituents raised their concerns around this?
Not in respect of the bus timetables, but a lot of people have raised concerns about journey times, you know, collectively, and that maybe is a car, the amount of time they may be sitting in a car trying to get through the village, which is already difficult at the moment. We know when the mountain road is closed, all of the traffic from the north of the island comes through Onchan. It really does need to have a proper review, and that work needs to be undertaken, because if we are looking for safer roads and we are looking to support people to walk and cycle to work, this feasibility study really is at the heart of it. If we're going to do this, let's do it properly.
That was Onchan MHK Rob Callister speaking to Chanel Suku about the 20 mile per hour proposals in Douglas and Onchan. Well, let's just bring you a response from the government. We spoke with the Infrastructure Minister, Michelle Hayward, this morning. She believes Mr. Callister is talking nonsense.
Given that we actually don't know quite where those 20 mile an hour restrictions are going yet, it's almost impossible to predict. And until we finish the consultation and we've had some consideration about where there might be 20 miles an hour restrictions, it's hard to say exactly. We do know that the journey time from Governor's Bridge to Avondale Road is less than 2 minutes. I'm not expecting there to be bus timetable changes of 10 to 15 minutes. There may be a minute or two, but there is already some flex allowed in bus timetables, because as we all know, you get on a bus and you start following the bin wagon or something doing stops or cyclists. So there is already some flex built into the bus timetables. There may be small tweaks, but there will be nothing like a 10 or 15 minute delay going through Onchan.
Now, we also heard from the secretary of the Unite Isle of Man taxi branch saying that the trade hasn't been consulted by the department directly. Do you think they should have been?
The consultation is open to the public, and they are welcome to feed into that consultation. What we do know about journey times around and average speeds around Douglas and Onchan is the average speed across the whole area is 24 miles an hour. So the reduction in speed, and we expect that most people won't probably drive at exactly 20 miles an hour. They'll probably be just slightly over. It will make very little difference to journey times. But if the taxis would like to, and I did speak to a couple of taxi drivers in the roadshows over the last couple of days, so I do know that they have individually contributed. But obviously, if their representatives would like to comment, then please ask them to either email into the department or to go and join in with the consultation.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
13 minutes past five, and the Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce has criticised the way wages are set here. It's after figures from the government revealed those working in the public sector are paid significantly more than those in the private sector on average. Reporting now is Amy Griffiths.
According to the Isle of Man Earnings Survey report, government employees earned around £200 a week more last year, which equates to around £10,000 a year. In a written response to a Timwell question, the Cabinet Office says the response includes those employed in the education, medical and health sectors, local authority employees and members of the House of Keys and the Legislative Council. However, it says a direct comparison between the earnings may not be useful because of what it describes as a greater degree of diversity in the work undertaken. For example, it says many of the lowest paid jobs, like bar and restaurant staff, hairdressers and retail workers, exist mainly in the private sector. But the Chamber of Commerce says the current methodologies for wage setting are producing distorted outcomes that risk penalising the very workers and businesses they're meant to protect. It says its members and the wider business community also have concerns about the persistent and widening gap between public and private sector pay. The Chamber believes if these issues aren't addressed, the credibility of the wage policy will be undermined, private sector competitiveness will be damaged, and there'll be deepened inequality between sectors. It's now calling on Tim Wald and government to act decisively to restore balance and fairness, not just in how people are paid, but how their contribution to the island's economy is measured and valued.
Amy Griffiths with that report there. Thank you very much. Now, a regulatory inspection by the Gambling Supervision Commission has resulted in a civil penalty of over £3.9 million being imposed on a local e-gaming company. With the details now, here's Simon Richardson.
Kelton Manx Limited, which surrendered its licence in May this year, was found to have committed multiple contraventions of the Gambling, Anti-Money Laundering and Countering the Financing of Terrorism Code. An initial penalty of over £5.6 million was discounted by 30% due to the company's senior personnel engaging appropriately and meaningfully with the GSC from an early stage and agreeing to the terms of the settlement expeditiously. In all, 15 contraventions of the code were identified, with the GSC describing some of them as systemic in nature. The Commission says it's satisfied that the imposition of the civil penalty on Kelton Manx reflects the serious nature of the non-compliance and the issues and risks identified. It was further noted by the GSC that Kelton Manx acknowledged the serious shortcomings in its operational and governance arrangements at an early stage of the Commission's investigation. Kelton Manx formally surrendered its licence with effect from the 9th of May.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's just cast our eyes over the roads to start. There's a few things to be mindful of. In Colby, there are temporary lights on Colby Level for bus stop improvement work. Over in Peel, though, temporary lights on Glen Faber Road. That's near the new sewage treatment plant for service supply work. And here in Douglas, this evening, a section of Peel Road will be closed to eastbound traffic for the removal of some dangerous trees. The road will be closed to traffic heading into Douglas between Quarterbridge and the fire station from 6:30 through till no later than midnight. Traffic heading away from Douglas, though, can still use the road normally. That's everything that we have on our radar, but naturally, if there is something you spot, do let us know. Ping us a text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. Over at the Steam Packet, no changes there. Everything looks like it's running smoothly. And over at the airport, there are a couple of things to be aware of. The 5:30 EasyJet to Manchester, that looks like it's delayed until 10 past 7. And by the looks of things, that's because it's going to be late landing, the 5 o'clock from EasyJet. 5 o'clock EasyJet from Manchester, not due to be in until 6:40. Also to be aware of, a Loganair to Edinburgh, that's scheduled for 7:55, but is now delayed until 8:40.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
18 minutes past five now, and the family of an Isle of Man firefighter who died after responding to a fire 60 years ago has been awarded the Elizabeth Emblem. It'll be made in tribute to Station Officer Henry Batram Kenner, who showed extraordinary courage and selfless service during a fire at a commercial building in Douglas on the 22nd of November 1965. It's the first time the honour's been conferred in respect of the Isle of Man. Lewis Foster has been speaking to Chief Fire Officer Mark Christian about what happened on the night.
And the first appliance at Douglas Fire Station was already out at another incident in Quayag. A call came in for a fire at the Express Radio shop in the workshop at the rear of the premises on Athol Street. And Station Officer Kenner, who was known to colleagues as Bert, happened to be on the fire station in John Street. He made his way up onto Athol Street with no hesitation. It was unknown whether there was persons involved inside the property. No hesitation to his own safety, Bert made entry into the building to try and see could he rescue anyone. Sadly, shortly after this, and by that time the appliance had arrived from the previous fire and his colleagues were on scene, Bert came out, or my understanding is Bert came out of the premises and had been overcome by the by smoke. And despite the best efforts of his colleagues on the day, sadly, he was shortly after that was pronounced dead.
There is a slight twist in the tale as well regarding Bert's brother.
Yes, so in 1938, Bert's older brother, Robert Kennan, attended a fire on North Quay Douglas. And sadly, Robert made the ultimate sacrifice on that day as well and lost his life. So it is really tragic that, you know, in modern history, that the two firefighters that we've lost on the island were connected and were brothers.
Well, Lewis Foster speaking to Chief Fire Officer Mark Christian there. And Government House says this posthumous recognition reflects the highest standards of duty, bravery and public service. 20 minutes past five now, and the first ever round of the Isle of Man World Downhill Skateboarding Championship is taking place this weekend. Director of Racing Will Stevenson told Manx Radio it's an event that's been a long time in the making.
And what we're doing is essentially racing skateboards down hills. It sounds crazy, and it is. And the skateboards that we use are really, really modified. And we do two different disciplines. So it's this downhill skateboarding, which is stood up on a board. And then we also have street luge, which is essentially an oversized skateboard that you lie down on your back and go down hills. These boards can reach in speeds of excess of 80 miles an hour. And it's incredibly impressive to watch.
What made you think the Isle of Man, this is the ideal place we want to hold a round of this event?
To be honest with you, it's been the attitude of people here. Everyone's been really, really accommodating and really friendly and interested in what we do. It can be a bit of a challenge when we go to some places. They just sort of roll their eyes and they're like, oh, what, racing skateboards, what's that about? But I think everyone here, it's always like in your blood. you get it. And that's what's been really, really helpful for us.
As a spectator, what's the spectacle like?
So for the spectators here, it's going to be watching those four people doing the head-to-head race on Sunday. So we do all the time trials and all the boring stuff, like, and the practice beforehand. But the real thing that you want to be watching is the head-to-head racing, which will be happening on Sunday. And we've got a wide variety of competitors that have come along from all over the world. So they are going to be battling it out on every single inch of that track.
Will Stevenson speaking there about the World Downhill Skateboarding Championship. I'll tell you what though, 80 miles per hour on some of those skateboards, that's going to be tricky. Right, let's turn our attention to sport, and the Isle of Man men's national football team and FC Isle of Man will face off in a friendly at the Bowl in Douglas tonight, kicking off at 7 o'clock. For the national side, it's their last match before the 2025 Ireland Games in Orkney. And caretaker player-manager Chris Bass says preparations for that have been going well.
You learn all the time. Each training session, we're learning more and more about the players, learning what works, what doesn't work. We're not asking them to do anything that, you know, is out of the ordinary for them. It's kind of, we're just trying to make all the basics, you know, very, very simple for them. We're not asking for stuff that they can't do. So they've taken it on board really well. They've worked so hard in training. Everybody's come together as a group.
What kind of test are you expecting?
I'm expecting a very good test. I'm expecting a standard of football that we would expect at the Ireland Games. I know that the FC Isle of Man's personnel's changed quite a bit. There's a few players that have retired from the FC squad, but they've also brought players in, younger players. But I'm expecting a very, very good test, and I'm expecting the standard of football that we're going to have to go and face in the Ireland Games. There's a lot of players that might be looked at for both sides. We've brought in, like, the players that we've brought in for our squad, they're also being looked at for FC Isle of Man. So I'm expecting them to try and produce something for when they come back and wanted to get themselves into the FC squad. So it'll be a very interesting game. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, meanwhile, it'll be the first pre-season match for FC Isle of Man ahead of their latest NWCFL Premier Division campaign, which gets underway on the 26th of July. Manager Paul Jones says they're still learning about how the team will look after departures in the summer of several key names, including Sean Doyle, Jack McVeigh and Ronan McDonald.
It's a bit of an interesting pre-season, really. We're working with a really good, strong group, but we're maybe not working with the full group that we would like to be this pre-season, which is fine. It's just how it is. So at the moment, there's a really, really good dynamic. You know, we're looking for everyone to step up. We're looking for everybody to earn the right to be in the squad and to wear the shirt week in and week out. And so far, we've seen that.
Across the board of the players that have stepped away, how confident are you that there are those in that setup who can step straight into that standard?
Very. Yeah, we've got, we had a a good strong group, and I know our results towards the end of last season didn't demonstrate that, but we've got a lot of belief in the squad. Some of the younger ones we've invited in have come in and done very, very well and maybe surprised us in terms of how quickly they've fitted into what we're doing. There will be others that come in. Yeah, players like Sean and Jack and Ronan, and you know, they bring a lot of experience and a lot of quality, but them not being there opens the door for others to step up.
FC Isle of Man's manager Paul Jones speaking to Rob Pritchard there. Well, we can now join Rob Pritchard live in the studio. He's got the latest sports. First of my Rob.
First of my Christian. Well, starting off, we did hear there from Will Stevenson of the World Downhill Skateboarding Championship. Well, the opening session here of the Isle of Man round has actually been cancelled earlier today. The WDSC says the decision was made after weather conditions were deemed too hazardous. Separately, two people have sustained injuries in incidents during the day as well. It's currently hoped the series can resume from around 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Elsewhere, former Ireland tennis star Billy Harris and Marcus Willis have been defeated in the second round of the gentlemen's doubles at Wimbledon. The all-British pairing have lost out in straight sets 7-6, 6-3 to second seed pairing Henry Patton and Harry Heliavara on court 5 this afternoon. Both Harris and Willis were wildcard entries into the doubles competition this year, with the latter still scheduled to appear in the mixed doubles tournament this year. Early this week, Harris also reached the second round of the gentlemen's singles before being knocked out by Nuno Borges. Meanwhile, the first recipient of the Manx Telecom Parish Walk's new Emerging Athlete Award is Sam Perry. The 18-year-old runner, who specialises in the 800 metres and 1500 metres, will use the £1,000 grant to support his trip to the Orkney Island Games this month. The award recognises young local athletics talent across all disciplines and supports costs such as coaching, travel and equipment. Organisers say Perry's dedication makes him a deserving winner and they wish him luck at the Games. Elsewhere in football, FC Isle of Man are due to find out their first set of fixtures for the upcoming NWCFL Premier Division season this weekend. The NWCFL is planning to announce the first batch of matches across its leagues at 12 p.m. tomorrow. The organisation says this will cover matches from the opening day on Saturday the 26th of July up to and including Saturday the 30th of August. The remainder of fixtures will then be released in due course. Well, earlier today, the NWCFL published draws for the preliminary and extra preliminary rounds of the FA Cup and first and second round proper of the FA Vars. FC Isle of Man will not be taking part in either of those competitions this season.
Thank you very much, Rob. I tell you what, though, World Downhill Skateboarding Championships, can we interest you? Will you be doing that?
Oh, I think that'd be a very ambitious
80 miles per hour.
I can't get my head around it.
When he said that, 80 miles an hour, can you imagine going 80 miles an hour on a skateboard?
I think it'd be incredible to see, and I don't know. Trying to get my head around it's difficult.
It's definitely tough. Well, I found out that Rob actually has a sidecar license just a few minutes ago, so that's a little bit of a wild card. Well, that's it for our update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Rob Pritchard is back with you for Friday's sport for the next hour before Chris Kinley takes you through till 9 with Greatest Hits. No update on Monday because it's Timwell Day proceedings, but I'll be back with you same time from Tuesday. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.